They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? To save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent. Looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart, Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. The Gospel of the Lord. I invite all of you to pay a lot of attention in the readings, especially the beautiful, beautiful letter to the Hebrews, which is a very priestly letter, I said, as a priest, no? A very, very priestly letter. If you really want to understand the priesthood from a biblical perspective, it's one of the best letters. And it helps you to understand the Old Testament. Of course, we hear today from the book of Genesis, Melchizedek, right? So it really gives you kind of a global perspective of who the priest is. So not only do you have the privilege of listening to it here, but you can read the book, rather the letter of Hebrews at home. So I invite you all to read very slowly through the letter of Hebrews and maybe underline certain things that seem to jump out. On Monday I had a long conversation with my mom, and she said very few people understand what a priest is. And we went on to talk a long conversation. You're right, Mom, very few people understand really what a priest is. So what I'd like to do today is I'm going to tell you a story of a priest, and then I'd like to refer you to the most important document on the formation of the priesthood in the past 50 years. And hopefully you'll read that sometime this year. The opening reading, we hear a prayer in honor of Saint Joseph related to divine providence. Divine providence means this, that nothing happens by chance, but all events are guided and directed by God's providence. So if you want to get me angry, say, "Good luck, Father." Yeah. I probably won't tell you in your face, but I get angry inside. Well, I don't believe in luck. Buena suerte. No, nothing, because nothing happens by chance. You believe it? You probably say good luck. People tell you often good luck, but I don't like that because technically speaking, it's against the first commandment. Technically speaking. You know, people don't see it that way. God never says, whoops. Okay. Does he? God is never taken by surprise. Okay, this story I heard from Father Tim Gallagher in one of his conferences on one of his books. And he's talking about, do any of you know the two companions of St. Ignatius when he was in Paris? Do any of you know? Two canonized saints. Okay, you're going to guess one, but the other, I would be shocked if you're to know the other. Who is a canonized saint? It's Francis Xavier and St. Peter Favre, okay, who was canonized by Pope Francis, what, about 2 years ago? If you say so, Father. But he was, okay? St. Peter Favre was the greatest expert in the exercises after Ignatius. Okay? So Ignatius gave the exercise, but the greatest expert was Favre, who was his roommate. Xavier was the extrovert, the athlete, father was the introvert, the intellectual. Both were intellectuals. Both were geniuses, but father was more quiet, more introverted, had a lot of complexes, fearful, insecure. Once he did the exercise, he was changed, and he became the greatest expert of the exercises, possibly in the world. He was the first Jesuit to be ordained. And then he started giving the exercise, ended by giving exercises to kings and queens and priests and bishops and cardinals in all of Europe. So he was the number one expert. But I'm going to tell you a story. He was outside the gate of a palace, and he was knocking at the door, and no one would let him in. So he kept knocking, no one would let him in. Finally, the porter goes there and says, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Father Peter Favre." "Well, I don't know you. You don't have your credentials." So he closed the door in his face. "And what would you do?" Now, right away he got angry, but then the Holy Spirit worked on him and said this to you: How many times have you closed the door on me? How many times have you closed the door on me? And then the second was, hopefully when you die, God will open up the door for you. And the third is, hopefully through your prayers, you'll be able to open up the door for so many people. And the fourth is, hopefully one day, you'll be in heaven with the porter that closed the door on your face. What an insight. That came all like that. Where did that come from? Who did that come from? The Holy Spirit. So that's called divine providence. Now, what would happen if you lived your life like that? Hello? Your life, you would become saints. You really would. You'd become saints. You live your life in such a way that you were living like Saint Peter Favre, the greatest master of the exercises after Ignatius. You see, all these things are happening to us, but we don't have discernment. We get angry. We get resentful. We block God's grace. So God's grace is knocking at the door of our heart, knocking at the door of our heart, and we're like the porter, we keep the door closed. So today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Okay, I'm going to mention, we're talking about the priesthood. I'm going to mention the most important document in the formation of priesthood in the past 50 years. What would it be? 1991, obviously what? Pastora Dava Vobis, which is the document on the formation of priests. John Paul II, give us priests according to your heart. Now in that, the Holy Father mentions, and I'm going to invite all of you to pray for priests, and pray for seminarians, and pray for young men who are studying to become priests, because there are four basic pillars that he says in the formation of priests. I'll mention them to you, and maybe in a talk in a retreat, I'll give you an hour talk on this. Okay? First is human formation. The second is intellectual formation. The third is spiritual formation. The fourth is pastoral formation. Now I'm going to give you a model of someone who really lived this out. Two people. John Paul II, and you ready? Another one? Fulton Sheen. Fulton Sheen. Human formation is a formation of character, human virtues. Intellectual formation, they have to study philosophy and theology. We have to be well educated, now more than ever. Spiritual formation, the hour of power. Amen? The hour of power. Prayer life. And pastoral formation, apostolic zeal. to want to save souls. Let's pray that young men who are studying to become priests, as well as we who are priests, that we'd be able to live out those four pillars, and that we would have a real hunger and thirst for the salvation of souls. And like St. Peter Fabre, that we would be aware that wherever we go, God is present there. And as the poet says, in Him we live and move and have our being. Amen.